Welcome to Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark in today for Cynthia Canty. It is a congressional race that political pundits and prognosticators are watching closely, and it is in our backyard. Michigan's 8th congressional district represents areas of Livingston, Ingham, and Oakland counties. The incumbent, Republican Mike Bishop, is running for his third term. Before Congress, he was the state Senate majority leader here in Michigan. Alyssa Slotkin is the Democrat in the race. She's held national security and defense roles during both the Obama and Bush administrations, including 3 tours in Iraq. And she joins us now. Hello and welcome.
Hi.
So this is shaping up to be one of the most expensive House races. Did you have any idea when you decided to run that it was going to be quite this big of a deal, this 8th congressional race?
No. I mean, I think, frankly, you know, I started thinking about running just because we're from a service family, right? I did 14 years in national security. I worked for both Democrats and Republicans. My husband's a career Army officer. And we started thinking about running because we just felt the tone and tenor of politics had become unbecoming of the country that we served and the country that we love. But we were reticent to get in because of money. We had never donated to a campaign. We had never gone to a political event. So when I understood that, for instance, Mike Bishop spent $3 million last cycle to win this race, I just didn't understand how the math worked and how campaign finance worked. So I was reticent to get in because of money. And obviously, at the end of the day, we got in, and frankly, because of healthcare. It just overwhelmed my sense of reticence, and we had to get in. But yeah, money, I never would have imagined that money would play as big a role in our politics. And it's one of the issues I want to work on.
Well, let's continue on that thread of money then, because it just so happens that you have raised a lot of it. In fact, more than the congressman right now. What is that like then, to go from this idea that there's too much money in politics? I want to talk about a bill that you're saying you would propose if you go to D.C. What does that look like to then go and have to raise all of this money and at the same time saying, you know what, there's too much money in our politics and that you want to change that? Yeah. How do those two coexist together?
Yeah, it's one of the ironies of running for office is that if you want to change the system, you have to run in the system. I wish it could be different and you could be a purist and then stay out. But if you care about changing the country, you got to get in. And this is the way, unfortunately, right now the game is played.
So this is one of the issues that you have really, it looks like, want to take a stand on if you make it to D.C. You're releasing this letter signed by you and 100 other candidates for the House. You want to reform campaign spending. What would that look like in your mind? Sure. In this perfect world.
So I think there are a couple of things. First of all, there has to be transparency for everyone who donates to any kind of political entity. So right now, if someone wants to give me $15, they need to tell me their name, their address, and their occupation. But if you want to give $15 million to a political super PAC to run negative ads, you don't have to tell anyone, you know, your name or what you do or why you're doing it. And I just think that makes zero sense. And so transparency across all donors for all kinds of political things. I'd love to see some limits on how much can be spent. That would be nice. And then there's a whole other list of things, particularly related around mitigating the influence of this decision called Citizens United, which just allowed so much more money to come into our system. And so we've called, a bunch of us candidates have called for this to be bill number one of the next House session, because I really will tell you that as much energy and positive sort of vibes there are out there right now, there are also a lot of people who have given up on our democratic system. Mm-hmm. And I knock on their door every day, particularly, you know, young people, Michigan State students. They're bowing out of their first election or second election. And I will tell you, as a national security person, I see that as a threat to our democracy. We have to return integrity. Leaders have to be held to a higher standard. And that only starts when they voluntarily start to do that themselves.
Turnout, I think, was close to 30% in August during the primary in Michigan. And a lot of political watchers were sort of jumping up and down going, 30%? That is huge. And yet you consider 30%.
Right.
And some of that, I think, is the tenor and just how mean politics has gotten. And I want to listen to an ad, an issue that your opponent has brought up. And it's the fact that you haven't lived in Michigan for some time. Let's listen to the audio again, just sort of about the tenor of this campaign. And then I want your response.
Sure.
What do we know about D.C. insider Alyssa Slotkin? Not much. Since Alyssa Slotkin just parachuted into the district to run for Congress, we know that Alyssa Slotkin was recruited by Nancy Pelosi and sent here from Washington. Slotkin doesn't own a home in Michigan, and her only voting record? For herself.
So I want to talk for a moment about Nancy Pelosi. But first, you know, these issues of carpetbagging, right, that you've just come back to Michigan.
So we hear this a lot. This is a pretty classic hit against us. Listen, I grew up here. I'm a daughter of Oakland County, lived exclusively in Oakland County. But then I went and 9/11 happened and I decided to sign up with the CIA. And I did three tours in Iraq alongside the military. I worked for both Democratic and Republican administrations proudly. And I served 14 years in national security. I'm extremely proud of what I was doing in that time that I was away from Michigan. I was protecting my country. My principal job was to prevent attacks on the homeland. And then I married an Army officer with 30 years in the Army, right? And he was deployed all around the world. We actually met in Iraq. So I'm extremely proud of what I was doing. And I just lean into it. If he wants to talk about records, I'm happy to talk about it. And in terms of Nancy Pelosi, right, this is another classic kind of nationwide Republican talking point. I have been extremely clear publicly that while I don't want to disrespect anyone who's ever served, particularly a woman who's broken glass ceilings, we need to hear what people are telling us on both sides of the aisle, which is they want a new generation of leaders.
And you have said you would not vote for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House.
Right. And I told that directly to her. Right. I called. Well, listen, she's didn't get where she was by being a, you know, a fragile flower. And she understood. I don't think that she liked it, but she understood. And I think they will continue to repeat this line because they think it works. I want to talk about what's happening in our state. I want to talk about our health care. Let's talk about something relevant and not something coming out of a Washington talking point machine.
And I want to talk about some issues, but let's talk a little bit about Nancy Pelosi, because I think there is this issue that is representing, or at least sort of, I don't want to say an intra-party fight necessarily, but you right now sort of see these two wings within the Democratic Party, right? They're sort of progressives, very liberal, sort of the Bernie Sanders wing, if you want to call it that, and then sort of the so-called establishment candidates, maybe the Nancy Pelosi's. As a newcomer to running, what is that like as a Democrat? Do you feel like you've got to choose a side within the party?
You know, I've been pretty open that I think that the Democratic Party has some, just like the Republican Party, some pretty existential strategic questions in front of it right now. I think both parties are still a little bit trying to figure out which way to go. And for me, you know, I just think you got to listen to what people are telling you. And on the ground, I know a heck of a lot of people who will say, listen, I was a Democrat, but, you know, I don't hear anyone talking about jobs and the economy and wages and what you're going to do for my pocketbook and my kids. And as a Democrat, if we can't articulate what we're going to do to help people, then we don't deserve their vote. And I think, you know, one of the things I've sort of said to any Democratic leader who will listen is, I believe in social issues and believe in passionately in campaigning for those social issues. But we got to talk about what we're going to do for people's pocketbooks or their kids. And we got to balance out the scales a little bit. It's not an either or. I just reject that false choice that you either care about social issues or you care about jobs in the economy. That is a false choice. But we haven't done a great job of articulating how we're going to help people. And that's what we do in the Democratic Party. So I've been an advocate for balancing the scales on how we talk about things, but it's not a choice either or.
What is an issue that you think you could compromise with Republicans on right now? I mean, you're talking about health care. What are some other issues where you think, you know, as you've traveled around the district campaigning, that you've heard from folks that you think, yeah, maybe this is some kind of through line that the other side, you know, the Republicans, Democrats could get together on?
Yeah. Listen, I'm willing to call a spade a spade. What looks like a positive deal on the renegotiation of NAFTA. And I want to see the details to make sure I understand how it'll play out. But I live on a soybean farm. We lease all our land to a soybean farmer now. And, you know, it is important that we recognize when things have, you know, and call a spade when things have come out seemingly well for the auto industry and for our farmers. And then I think there's plenty of things like the Great Lakes. You know, if I'm elected, one of the things I would love to work on first is reinvigorating the Great Lakes Caucus. So every member, Republican or Democrat, from every Great Lakes state, you know, gets together to talk about how we're going to preserve the Great Lakes. Because, you know, we can say what we want here in Michigan, but if the Wisconsin folks aren't on board, it's going to affect us. And that, to me, starting with our environment, our lakes, is a good bipartisan place to begin. And once you build trust, then you have bigger conversations on bigger issues. But I do believe in a strong two-party system. I really do. We need people of integrity on both sides in order for our country to work. And I hope to be a part of that solution if I win.
You lived in D.C. while you were not overseas doing tours. Is it as bad as folks think it is right now?
Well, I did a couple of events with both Senator Peters and Senator Stabenow. And, you know, it seems like they've had a really tough couple of weeks. I think the Kavanaugh hearings really brought home to people just how divided we are right now. People are extremely emotional. I've had more people kind of grip me when they see me in the supermarket and kind of want to tell their story and how upset they are by the climate in Washington. So I think they're feeling that, they were happy to be in Michigan and not in D.C. So it seems, unfortunately, pretty darn bad. And this is why I just believe, we need a different generation that just thinks bigger and works harder and remembers that they are public servants. I think that has been lost for some of our members, sometimes on both sides of the aisle, that the whole job description is to improve the lives of the people that you represent. So I hope people with public service backgrounds win in this election and then continue to serve in the U.S. Congress.
Alyssa Slotkin running for Michigan's 8th Congressional District against two-term Republican Mike Bishop. Alyssa, thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to be here.